Okay, we are in Perek Yud Chet, the 18th chapter in Shmuel Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Chaf, the 20th verse on page 120, bottom of page 120, bottom of page 121. David was about to marry Merav, but as we left off, a man by the name of Adriel ended up marrying her instead. Merav was the oldest daughter of the king, of King Shaul. And as we know, he was not married to her. Instead, he was married to a woman by the name of Michal, which is Pasuk Chaf. Let's begin with that. Vateha Michal bas Shaul es David. That Michal loved David. And v'yagidu Shaul, this little piece of information was brought to the attention of Shaul. And this was something which was very good. He was very happy about that. Why was he so happy? After all, Shaul didn't really like David much anymore. He saw, as we mentioned before, heard all the songs that were being sung about him, all the lyrics, that David was more powerful than he was, that the women would sing, that David could wipe out 10,000, Shaul a mere 1,000. So why was it so good? So the next pasuk really explains why he was happy that now he was going to marry his very close daughter. But Yomer Shaul, because Shaul thought to himself, at Nenela, at Tehilo Lamokesh, when my daughter Michal marries him, She will be a snare unto him. She will be someone who will oppress him and will cause him to stumble. Utihibo yad plishtim. She'll be the one that will encourage him to continue, because David now is a famous warrior. He should continue in fighting against the Philistines. And when you keep fighting, even the greatest fighter, right, even the Mike Tyson, eventually is going to hit the mat more than once. And that's the reality. Even the greatest soldier eventually will fall in battle. And that was the king's intention. He didn't want his hands bloody. He didn't want to have to kill him himself. Because after all, he was really an innocent man. David was a good guy. But this was a way to get rid of his threats to the throne by him marrying his daughter. And then his daughter will constantly saying, why don't you fight this battle, and then eventually he'll die on the battlefield. But Yomer Shaul el David, and Shaul said to David, Bishayim tischatein bihayom. Some interpret mean two daughters, two possible daughters, you could have become my son-in-law today. Another interpretation of Bishayim is that with two conditions you will be my son-in-law. One, which we've seen, you have to continue to battle, to wage war on the battlefield to be this powerful man. And then we're going to see the second strange request that the king makes shortly. Pasuk Chaf Bet tells us, V'etzav Shaul es avadav, that Shaul commanded his servants, Dabru el David, Balot, speak to David, Balot. This translates as Bechashoi, quietly, Lamor, tell him in secret, Hini chafetz b'cha hamelach, the king wants you, b'chol avadov ahivucha, you're a very popular guy, everyone loves you, v'yata, and now, hischatein b'melach, we want you to become the son-in-law to the king. What a tremendous honor. Vayedabru avnei Shaul ba'aznei David, and these words were actually said to the ears of David, which perhaps could imply the idea that it was balot, it was done quietly, that it was kind of like whispered into his ears ever so quietly. That's the Amar Me'ela, these words. Vayomer David, and David said, Hanekalo be'nechem, hischatin b'melech. You think it's such a little deal marrying into the royal palace, to marry one of the king's daughters. That's such a simple thing. Look at me. I'm a nobody. V'anochi ish rosh v'nikle I'm just a Rush and a Nikla. And the Masuda Sion says a Rush is another word for an Ani. I'm impoverished. I'm not a wealthy man. But Nikla, the Masuda Sion says, Hu Hapuch Hamuchbud. It's the opposite of honor. I'm not a very honorable lad. So why on earth would you want to have me marry this daughter, to marry the king's daughter? It's not such a light thing. And look at me, I'm a nobody. After all, I have no money, I have no dowry, I have nothing to give, I have nothing to offer. Vayagidu avdei Sha'ol olemor. The servants were stunned. Imagine someone was given the opportunity to marry a princess. A person would jump at that opportunity. But nonetheless, he said it's too much of an honor. I can't accept it. And perhaps one of the reasons is that David knew that Sha'ol didn't really like him. It's possible, because after all, we remember that he had a couple spears thrown at his head, even though as one interpretation was that he didn't even realize that was happening to him. Either way, perhaps he didn't really want to be so close to the king. The potential downfall, knowing what could happen to him. Vayagidu avdi Sha'ol olemor. So the servants told the king, Kadabar mu'ele diber davis. This is exactly what this guy said. We can't believe it, but he doesn't feel that he's worthy to marry your daughter. Yomer Sha'ol. So the king said, Pasuk of Hey, Kos So'omru David.
I just wanted to ask you that.
Yeah.
Before it cut down, it says, Vayagidu avdi Sha'ol lo lemor. So I guess the lo is to Sha'ol. I would have thought that it might have been to David. Vayagidu avdi Sha'ol lo lemor. I mean, here David just said he's not worthy, and it says, Vayagidu avdi Sha'ol lo lemor. They said to him. But Kadran Elu David Dibre. In other words.
Right.
What's the low is what? Is Sha'ol?
Right. I mean, the way to know that definitively is by looking at the latter part of the pasuk.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to tell David, Divrei David, right? He already, hopefully he knows what he just said. So probably they were saying it to someone else.
You would think that the low would have been David, because they were
right.
Just talking to David, and David just said, I'm not worthy.
Right.
And then, Vayagidu avdei Sha'ol. It doesn't indicate that they went back to
Sha'ol. Right. In fact, which is interesting, the way that it's broken up, you would think that there should be a break in the Pesukim, the Pasuk before, right, by Pasuk Chavdalad, not the next one. Pasuk Chav Hey, you see there's a little bit of a break, which indicates that's like a new
Inyan.
Right. Which, for some reason, it skips it, right? It should be the Pasuk before. But it's a good way to look at it, but it must be that they were speaking to the king, because otherwise why would they be saying to David, Kedvar mo'elet diber David? These are the words that David said, but it's something to think about. So Pasuk Hav Hey says, Vayomer Sha'ol kosamer David. This is, the king said, this is what you should say back to this guy. Ein chevetz lamelech b'mohar. He's so concerned about money. He's a rosh. He's a poor guy. He's impoverished. Don't worry about the dowry so much. I'm a king, after all. What is this guy going to give me? You know, I'm worth billions of dollars. You're going to give me a couple hundred bucks? What's that going to be worth to me?
What's mohar?
Mohar is a dowry. It's a dowry. I don't want that. It means nothing to me. Money doesn't have any value to me. But there is something which I do want from you. This is what I want you to tell him. Kibameya arlos plishtim. I want only 100, not 100 bucks, but 100 foreskins from the Philistines. Strange request, but lihinakim b'ayvi hamelach. This is a way to avenge against the enemies of the king. Now, why on earth would he want, instead of 100 golden coins, a bunch of arlos? B'shol chashab, b'shol thought. Now, if you would go up to someone and say, could I borrow $100? Maybe you can lend. Well, 100 arlos, that people are not going to give so fast. So therefore, Sha'ol thought, V'hafil is David b'yad plishtim. This is a sure way to get David to fall. He'll certainly die. 100 to 1? He's certainly going to die. Okay. Now, this, as we mentioned before, could be another explanation, as we mentioned, of Bishtayim, toward the very beginning of this page, it said, I want two things. So some explain As we mentioned before, I want you to wage war, and I want a second thing. B'shtayim. What's the second thing? I want this strange request of the Philistines' remains. So the Mefarshim ask, what was Shaul's intention over here? Shaul's intention was, this is a surefire way to get David to fall in battle. Now there's two major problems. The first problem is, we know the song. We all know the lyrics to the song. We just had Grammys yesterday. This was not on the, didn't win any nominations. But the song that we just heard before is the women sang that Shaul, he could only defeat 1,000. David, how many could this great guy defeat? 10,000. So 100? That's nothing. Like, what is he thinking? Furthermore, we know that there was a relatively strong man that David was able to defeat, Goliath, which is unbelievable. Hashem obviously was on David's side. So what was Shaul thinking? Some explain like this. Some explain that when it comes to the wars, when it comes to fighting against Goliath, that was something which was for the sake of the Bnei Israel. It was for the sake of the Jewish people. So for that, Hashem will provide a nace. Hashem will have his hand involved in saving and protecting David. Over here, what is the purpose of him collecting these arlos? It's so that he can benefit. So that I can marry a princess. So Shaul thought, you know what? Maybe for that, Hashem will not protect him. Because it's not for the zchus of everyone, for everyone's merit, for the zchut of Klai Yisrael, it's for his own benefit, for his own personal hana. So for that, maybe Shaul thought he would be defeated. We'll see if that in fact occurs. The Agidu Avada V'David says Pasuk Chavav that the servant said to David as Devarim Mu'ela, he didn't speak directly to the king. Even though he played the harp for him, he was usually in the same room. But this is how it happened. Vayishar Hadavar Be'eni David. David thought, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No problem. L'yishchakin b'melech v'lo mol hayomim. I have no problem doing that. I think I will do so. V'lo mol yomim. The days were not filled up. What does that mean? He had 23 hours in his day, right? He didn't have 24 hours. V'lo mol hayomim. So Rashi explains, "V'lo mol hayomim, v'lo himtin ad melos hayomim shekavlo." He was given a deadline. You have a certain amount of time to accomplish this task, David, and bring back these goods. So did he procrastinate? No. "V'lo mol hayomim," Rashi says that he didn't wait until those days were complete. "V'lo habiyas me'ar olos." He didn't wait. He did it immediately, as it says in Perkei Avos. If not now, when? Right? So a person should not procrastinate, which is one of the great attributes of a leader. A leader is someone that does not push things off, right? And they do things immediately. This is an important lesson as we're getting close to tax season, right? April 15th is coming. And for some reason, the post office, every single year, they stay a little bit open a little later on April 15th, right? The reason for that is because everyone knows that people wait till the last minute. But David would have sent his taxes in already. In January, he would have done his taxes.
Use the mashal of Pesach. You should get started earlier.
Oh, well, would that be David? Would that be Michal, right? That would be his wife, maybe. Should be David as well. Okay. Continuing the next pasuk. Pasuk Kav Zayin. I don't like mentioning Pesach. It gets people nervous. But it is in less than 2 months. Okay. Pasuk of Vav. So we saw that was Pasuk of Vav. He didn't wait. Pasuk of Zion. Vayakam David vayelechu vanoshav. So David got up and he went with his guys, his posse, his powerful men that accompanied him in war. Vayakbal b'plishtin. And he smote the Philistines. And would he do exactly as he was told? No. He was an overachiever. Masayimish. He was able to kill not 100, but even 200. Be'yavi David es arlosehem v'yamalum lamelech. And David brought these remains, and he presented them to the king. L'schatein b'melech. And this was his way of being able to marry and become the son-in-law to the king. V'yitin lo shol es michal bito l'isha. This is the pasuk where it says that in fact Shaul gave over his daughter Michal Bito, his daughter, Laisha, as a wife. So some of the Farshim explain, why did he give 200 if he only had to give 100? So maybe he's just an overachiever, he's a brown nose or whatever it is. So some explain that David wanted to do this because it's corresponding to a typical ksuba. The typical ksuba, the amount of zuz, which is a monetary currency, is matayim zuz, 200, right? 200 you give for a besula, for your first marriage. For a woman who has been married before, you give 100. So he felt it would be, not be, for whatever reason, right? So you get a half off, 50% off, right? Bargain basement. That's the halacha, actually, 100 zuz. So he felt to be able to marry the queen's, this beautiful daughter, this princess, to give 100 to would be like second best. I have to give equivalent to the ksuba of 200. Furthermore, some explain that if you're told to do something and you do exactly that amount, okay, so you fulfilled your obligation. But when it comes to David, who wanted to marry Michal, just as she loved him, he loved her. And therefore, he wanted to show a true act of love. A true act of love is not doing what you must do, but it's going above and beyond that what you need to do. And they say that the greatest gift that you can ever give, or when you give flowers or cards or some chocolate, is two words. Just because. Just because. To give on your anniversary, you better give on your anniversary or else. That's, you know, it's expected. And if you don't, why not? Of course you have to. Everyone does. But to give just because, that shows your true love. So some explain, maybe that's the idea. Instead of flowers, he gave these foreskin. But either way, it was a way of expressing his love. Yes, just because. Okay, something to think about. Anyway. Pasuk Chavches. Vayar Shaul Vayeda Ki Hashem Im David. Now Shaul was getting a little bit nervous. And he began to realize that Hashem was with David. That David was able to have Hashem involved in his life. And not only that, Michal bas Shaul Ahivos. His daughter Shaul, his daughter Michal, Shaul's daughter, loved him. Okay? Why do we need to know that aspect? Okay, that's very nice. After all, they were married. I would hope they would love one another. What does that have anything to do with the fact that David had Hashem with him and that Shaul was afraid? So we look at the Radak.
Could it be that, what you said before, that
yes.
He wanted Michal to push him toward she loved him, she wasn't going to do that?
Exactly, very good. That's exactly what the Radak says. Very good. If we look at the Radak, echoes your words. Lafichach, Pasuk Chavches, therefore, Hosiv Lira Mipanav L'Shnei Dvarim. Shaul was afraid even more for two reasons. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. That's the Hemshach, the juxtaposition of both sides of this verse. Ha'echad wanted Sherki Hashem Imo. He saw that Hashem was with him. V'od, and furthermore, Shemichal Bito, that Michal, his daughter, Ahivoso, that she loved him. He now realized that she would not cause him to die. She would not be instrumental in causing him to be killed. That even if it would turn out that he would eventually be told that he was going to die, that she would find out that her husband would die, she would let him know about it. And we're going to actually see that that's exactly what happens in next parak, which we may or may not see that part. But we're going to find out that Michal realizes that her husband is going to die tomorrow. And we're going to see that she actually informs him and says, you better get out of here before the sunrise, because otherwise this will be the last sunrise you'll ever see. So this was a reason, exactly as what the Radak says, her love.
There's really, I think, no hakara at all on the part of David later on. When she did all this for him, and she made one little mistake, and he dismissed her. That was the end.
I guess we're going to have to see that in greater depth, but that is
not
a very difficult...
But her father, he's so
what?
Bad. He's so bad. In every turn, and he's fearing Hashem, and he thinks Hashem is with him. If you think Hashem is with somebody, why do you Why are you trying to fight against this party? You trying to kill this person?
Power. He doesn't want to lose his power.
It's just, he's so blinded by the power that he's behaving so badly, despite the fact that his daughter loves him.
Right.
And it doesn't occur to him, maybe she'd be upset if he died. Like, he'd be upsetting his daughter.
Right. You're right. That's... But we also mentioned that Shaul was overtaken with this Ruach Ra, which some can interpret as some type of illness, a mental illness that he had. So perhaps he was not always in complete control over his decisions at a certain point of his life, which is another way of interpreting, which would kind of get him off the hook a little bit. But otherwise, it is difficult to understand, especially Shaul, such a great man, as we've studied his greatness. That's why he became a king, because he was such a terrific person, such a humble person. Fine. Okay, let's continue. All right. We're up to Butch Pasuk, Pasuk Chav Tes. Wow, we're flying. Vayosef Shaul Leiro Mibnei David Od. And Shaul continued Leiro, has brought them to the Sion, language of Yira and Pachad. Shaul was continuing to be afraid of David. Od, furthermore. Vayhi Shaul Oyves David Kol Hayomim. And Shaul hated David all of his days. He hated the guy. That's all there's to say. Vayetsu Sari Plishtim, and the officers, the powerful, the Philistines came, our enemies, continued to always wage war against us, no matter how many times we defeated them. Vayhi Midei Sesam Sachal David Mikol Abdei Shaul V'yikar Shmo Ma'od. And it was midays that brought down the Mesudasion all the time, the Cholzman, all the time they would come out. David, with his seichel, with his abundant knowledge, would be able to take his servants, the servants of Shaul, and he would end up defeating them, and this would cause him to have tremendous levels of kavod, tremendous levels of honor. If we look, before we jump into the next parak, actually it says this on page 123, which I underlined in the English. Why on earth would the Philistines want to start up at this point? The Philistines just got wiped out by this very powerful man. David is unstoppable. He is undefeated, right? He's undefeated, undisputed champion of the world. He was able to defeat this great man Goliath. Why on earth would the Philistines want to start up at this point, immediately after the marriage? This is a very strange explanation, but it's brought down to 123 in the English, which is a Medrash Shmuel in the Yalkut. He says that the Philistines were also very well versed in Jewish law. And they knew when it comes to a person who gets married, the Torah says, Ki yikach ish isha chadasha, when you are married a new woman, a new wife, you just married, lo yetze bat sava, you're not allowed to go out to war, naki yihe lebeito shanachas. You're supposed to stay in your home for the first year, and that's what Shana Rishon, which is a nice excuse a lot of people have for not doing things which they should be doing. Ah, Shana Rishon. All right. I can't do that, Shana Rishon. That's their excuse. It's a good excuse. Always easy to hide behind the halacha. But nonetheless, that's what the pasuk says. So the Philistine said, he's not allowed to go out and fight this powerful man. So the Torah says he's not allowed to fight. So we'll be able to fight against the Jewish people. And we know that powerful man by the name of David, this powerful warrior, won't be able to join them. And therefore we have a shot. This is our 1 year window of opportunity to be able to defeat them. So it says, again, it's in English in 123, the difference between a milchamas rishus and milchamas mitzvah. Now when it comes to a milchama war, which is rishus, which is translated as optional, that in fact, the halacha is, you are exempt from war. But a milchamas mitzvah, a war which is a mitzvah to actually fight, for example, a Amalek, right? Or the conquering of certain parts of Israel, says the halacha, Yotzei afil chasen mechedru v'kal mechupata. And even the chatan and kala from underneath the chuppah have to go out and fight. And therefore, they didn't realize this was actually Milchamas Mitzvah. And therefore, because of this, David was ready to fight, even though he just got married. Okay.